I think we've been doing an incredible job of rebuilding our organization and rebuilding our movement and poising ourselves to take back this province on behalf of people and workers in this province. And there's been an important aspect of that in the city of Vancouver that I think we have to recognize tonight. And they were good enough to come out tonight to share International Workers' Day with the Vancouver and District Labour Council. I'd like to recognize and acknowledge some of the members of the Coalition of Progressive Electors who are here with us tonight. Sister Ann Roberts, if you would stand up. Brother Kim Lewis. Brother Tim Stevenson. And school trustees Al Blakey. And Noel Herron. We're also very lucky to have with us tonight the new national president of the Canadian Union of Public Employees, Brother Paul Moyse. And brothers and sisters, I'd finally like to acknowledge a sister in the HEU. She works at GF Strong. Her last day of work was Wednesday, and she has to repay $550 as she goes out the door. But I'd like to acknowledge her sister, Diane. His name is Clarence Thomas, but he's not the Supreme Court Justice. Good. I think he calls himself the good Clarence Thomas. His pedigree is a third generation longshoreman. He's on the executive board of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union Local 10. He's a delegate to the Alameda County Central Labor Council. And he's one of the leading members of the U.S. Labor Against the War. He was on the U.S. labor tour that went to Iraq and looked at what the United States is imposing in the way of labor code changes and labor things in terms of the workers' movement in Iraq. We're very pleased to have with us tonight Brother Clarence Thomas.
Solidarity to you all. I want to first thank the Vancouver District Labor Council for inviting me to this celebratory May Day dinner. Can you hear me? Okay. Can you hear me now? All right. I wanted to first of all thank the council for inviting me to this celebratory May Day dinner. I must tell you that this is the first time that I've ever been a part of a May Day celebration where there were, what the estimate is, at least 15,000 people that were out there today. It was very inspiring. I would like to also say that I would like to present the, on behalf of the ILWU Local 10, U.S. Labor Against the War, a special message of solidarity to the Hospital Employees Union. For those of you who may not be familiar with me, I'm very happy to tell you that I'm glad that there was so little laughter tonight when my name was introduced. When I first started to speak before labor gatherings as well as progressive organizations, I used to get this snickering from people when they said, Clarence Thomas, and they said, wow, I must be in the wrong room. But I just want to say that contrary to the popular rumor that's going around right now, I did not go to Baghdad in order to distinguish myself from that other Clarence Thomas. But I do understand that they're now asking him, the other Clarence Thomas, by the way, I understand you were in Baghdad. He said, oh no, that's that other guy on the left coast. I would like at this time to acknowledge two people in the audience who have opened up their homes to me and made it possible for me to attend this great May Day event today. Brother Sid Schneid and also his lovely wife, Sherry, would you please stand up? After some of the hotels that I stayed in Baghdad and other faraway places, it's a delight to be able to stay in such a lovely home as Brother and Sister Schneid's. Let me first of all give you a little background about the ILWU, because I understand that we're in the ILWU hall today, this evening. The International Longshore and Warehouse Union grew out of struggle. And in 1934, there was a struggle waged in San Francisco and on the West Coast that reverberated all around the world. And a man by the name of Studs Terkel described the shipping interest and shipping owners as the shock troops of capitalism. And it was longshore and other maritime workers that went up against those shock troops around the issue of having a collective bargaining agreement and having a union hall that could be the controller of our work. We were able to get that, but it caused the death of several of our members. And one of the things that I was reminded today when I heard the chants about general strike is that in San Francisco, after two of our fallen comrades were killed by the San Francisco Police Department, there was a general strike that followed in San Francisco, shutting down the entire city. And it was after that general strike that our strike was settled. And I think history is bound to repeat itself. Not only here in this province, but all around the world where workers are standing up. And we must stand up and fight back because we are experiencing unprecedented attacks. Privatization is not just a matter that is affecting your workers here in your province. It's a big issue in my industry and in the United States. It's a big issue all over the world, wherever there are working people. One of the things that you need to understand as to why I decided to go to Iraq is because one of our employers, the Stevedoring Services of America, was awarded a contract 5 days into the invasion of Iraq. They were given a contract by AID for the purpose of operating the port of Umm Qasr, one of the most important ports in the region. Now, what you need to understand about Stevedoring Services of America is that during the course of our contract negotiations some 2 years ago, this company was the most belligerent. It was the most recalcitrant in its position to making a deal with the ILWU with regards to our contract negotiations with the Pacific Maritime Association. They gave a blueprint to the Bush administration on how best to intervene in our contract negotiations. They were involved in outsourcing several hundred jobs of the ILWU. This led to the ILWU being locked out for 10 days. And throughout the world, people thought that it was the ILWU that was on strike, when we were, in fact, the victims of an employer strike. Then to be rewarded by the Bush administration with Taft Hartley. And then after Taft Hartley was imposed, to then be given a contract to operate the port of Umm Qasr. Clearly, we learned in the ILWU that it was not only a war abroad in Afghanistan and in Iraq, but also a war at home. SSA is a profiteer from the war on the sovereign people of Iraq, just as Bechtel and Halliburton and Kellogg Brown and Rhubarb. On October 6, 2003, five trade unionists, two of which from the United States, David Bacon, who is a renowned writer and photographer, two people from French unions, Paris, and one Iraqi exile who is currently living in Paris, were part of that five-team delegation. This particular mission was organized by U.S. Labor Against the War. And what is unique about this organization is that it is a rank and file organization. Many of you probably are aware of the fact that our leadership, the AFL-CIO president, John Sweeney, did not oppose the war, did not oppose the occupation. But yet, the U.S. Labor Against the War was conceived and convened rank and filers from all over the country who were concerned and wanted to speak out and wanted to take action against American foreign policy that promotes militarism, racism, and oppression. And it was that group that was able to organize this mission. Now, one of the things that had to be done was to establish an organization in place in Iraq that would be able to set up meetings with various trade union organizations and with workers. And that organization was Occupation Watch, which is a human rights organization that is made up of several international labor and progressive organizations. The trip to Iraq started with us first leaving from San Francisco and then flying to the Netherlands and from the Netherlands to Amman, Jordan. And in Amman, Jordan, we had two members of a well-established taxi service that is in the business of taking journalists, business people, and others on that hazardous road from Amman, Jordan into Baghdad. One of the things that I'm reminded of on our way to Baghdad is that we came upon a checkpoint officer right before we entered Fallujah. And he told us that when you reach Fallujah, if there's anyone in the street, in the highway, other than a person who is a checkpoint officer, do not stop. He went on to explain, in Arabic, of course, that there were people who were pretending to be those that were seeking assistance in the road, but that in many instances, people were being carjacked and robbed. So our two drivers started to drive side by side at about 100 miles per hour, ensuring that we would not be carjacked. That was one of the most thrilling rides I've ever had, I tell you that. This was a wonderful experience for both David and the other members of the delegation because everything went according to plan. I had anticipated that we would be intercepted by the CIA or some other United States agency, preventing us from going in. But we realized later that those forces had another mission. They wanted to find out where we were going and who we were talking to. So they didn't stop us from getting to where we wanted to go. And what we learned there was something very much different than what is depicted in the media. The first thing that we learned is that since the occupation authority has taken over, and 70% unemployment, 70%. People are so desperate that employees of the Al Dara oil plant, which is one of the largest refineries in northern Iraq, are giving their workers free motor oil, and we could see the children of these workers selling motor oil on the side of the road. Now, this is the country that has the second largest oil reserves in the world. We saw men selling black market gasoline out of plastic containers on the side of the road. None of the $87 billion that were appropriated by the U.S. Congress for Iraq were going for the benefit of the Iraqi people. There is no unemployment insurance, no health care services, no kind of remedial allocation to make the so-called liberation of the Iraqi people more enduring, because there is no liberation. Well, of course, that's very clear now, but when we were there in October,